The economic recovery continues after the big hit last year from the pandemic. But there are concerns about the risk of inflation getting too high, with lots of government relief spending and as pent-up demand drives up prices for lots of goods. In April, overall prices were up 4.2%. It's compared to April 2020, though, when the economy was reacting to the unexpected global pandemic. So is inflation on the way? How much? And what does it mean for you, what you pay for stuff, and how you save for the future? You could join in at 800-642-1234. Have you been watching inflation levels? Do you have retirement plans that you're wondering about in the midst of possible inflation? Have you seen prices rise on something important to you? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Taylor Tepper is senior financial analyst with Forbes Advisor. He's a personal finance journalist who's covered a range of financial topics in New York Times, Newsweek, Fortune, and elsewhere. Taylor, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Economics 101, Taylor, remind us what we mean when we say inflation.
Inflation is basically what prices do over time, right? So what we're talking about now is that the prices of certain goods, services are different than where they were a month ago or a year ago. And so you want prices to rise a little bit. You don't want prices to rise too slowly, or you don't want prices to like rise way too much. So you want sort of that Goldilocks price rise. That sort of helps the economy go and helps employment and help businesses and sort of good juice for everybody. And so that's what everyone's sort of worried about now. It's how much inflation is happening now, how long will it be here for, and when will it go back to normal?
What's the joke about economists having so many hands? It seems like there's a lot of on one hand, on the other hand, on my third hand, and so on. How do you sort out? Yeah, definitely some prices are going up, but we're coming out of a really weird economy. How do you sort out the inflation we're seeing now and whether it's here to stay?
So yeah, I think it's really good for your listeners to think about and remember back to where we were before, like you mentioned. Like, you know, prices went into a nosedive. And if you're comparing prices now in a recovering economy to back then, they're going to be higher. Like, you all are in Wisconsin. You didn't lose very many Packer football games last year. If you trade Aaron Rodgers, you're going to lose a lot more games. Your loss inflation will go up. It's sort of that thing. You're comparing two different bases. And so yeah, so when it comes to this kind of stuff, I just right now the Fed is saying that this higher inflation is transitory. Transitory is sort of the buzzword that economists and Fed governors and Fed regional Fed presidents are saying. They think this is going to be transitory. What transitory means is sort of different to each one of those people, whether it's a few months or through the end of the year, as Treasury Secretary Yellen just said today. So that's sort of what people are worried about. And the reason people are sort of worried about inflation is because eventually the Fed might have to do stuff to bring inflation down. So right now, interest rates are at basically zero. The Fed is buying $120 billion worth of bonds each month to get the economy going. And that's sort of helping the employment situation improve because we still have a lot more people unemployed now than we did before the pandemic hit. And so people are worried that if inflation gets out of control, if it spirals up, you know, if we get this 1970s, you know, flashback and it's no good and everyone hates that, the Fed is going to have to raise rates. That's going to hurt employment and that's going to cause a lot of economic pain. So that's sort of like the angst going on right now.
And then there's concern when the federal government spends a lot of money and when interest rates are low, which they have been pretty much since the Great Recession, that can be inflationary. That can raise inflation. How much are people looking at the latest relief spending, possibility of more infrastructure spending, and saying that could make inflation, maybe it could push it past that sweet spot?
Yeah, this is sort of a roiling debate right now in like the economic nerd world. You have former Treasury Secretary Larry Summers talk about how, you know, all this spending is going to lead to higher inflation. You have, you know, the Fed right now and people who sort of support the Fed saying, we've got this under control. There's a huge, you know, economic pain that was involved with the shutdowns and we need to help people get back into employment. And so we're not too worried about this. So that's sort of the debate right now. How much will all this unprecedented federal spending, it wasn't just, you know, it's not just the money that the government put in with all these different relief bills. It's also a lot of the money that's sort of sitting on the sidelines that, you know, millions of households have saved a lot more money either through the direct payments they got from the stimulus checks or from just not spending things as they normally would because of the economic lockdowns. So there's all this sort of money sitting on the sidelines that's going to be spent, and people don't really know, you know, what's going to happen to inflation once that does. I would say for your listeners, the sort of conventional wisdom right now is that inflation will be somewhat higher than we're sort of used to, and it will sort of go back down to more normal levels towards the end of this year and into next year. And it's important to remember, and you said this before, that inflation was too low it was below the Fed's target level. The Fed wants 2% price increases, wants 2% inflation. That's sort of that's the Goldilocks number for them. And it was consistently below that number for the past 12 years, right after the Great Recession. You know, I'm sure your listeners know that, you know, remember, have like a visceral feeling of the economy really slowly recovering after the Great Recession. Like, it took a long time for home prices to get back. It took a long time to sort of make up for all that lost income when they lost jobs. That was a very devastating moment in our country. And the relief bill that was passed back then, it was huge, but it paled in comparison to what was just spent over this past year. And so it took a long time to get back to sort of normal economic growth. And over that 10, 12 year period, there was higher unemployment than was needed. That's sort of the argument from the Fed. Because we were too worried about inflation, we were too quick to raise interest rates, that caused businesses to not grow as fast, it caused businesses to not hire as quickly. So that's sort of the needle that the Fed is trying to thread. You know, we want people to get back to having a robust job market. Maybe we can push down unemployment even further than we thought. You know, it was 3.5% before the pandemic hit. We can do that without causing this insane inflation. And that would help just a lot of normal people keep their jobs. So these are sort of the debates going on inside the eggheads in the Fed.
Talking to Taylor Tepper, senior financial analyst with Forbes Advisor, talking about inflation likely going up in the short term. How long is the short term? How big a deal is it? You can join in with your thoughts and questions at 800-642-1234. Let's go to your calls now. Phil is with us in Linden Station. Phil, hello.
Hello, how are you?
Good. What are you seeing out there, Phil?
Well, I think that the inflation's already here. What's happening in the housing market, we just sold our home for tens of thousands of dollars more than I thought the home was ever worth. Now we got to replace the home. But when the price of the home goes up, so does the cost of the insurance, because insurance is based on how much would it cost to replace your home if it burned down. Well, with the price of lumber, 3 and 4 times what it was last year, that's going to drive that market high. But also the prices of cars. Car dealerships can't keep cars in. They say it's 6-8 months if you want to order a new car. Prices are high there. The cost of food has gone up dramatically since in the last 6 months. Gasoline is high. I don't think there's a question about when or if. It's about how long is this hyperinflation going to last.
Phil, thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate it. We've had conversations on this show, Taylor, about a lot of those specific topics, homes and cars in particular, lumber too. It's like being weird supply and demand things driven in part, but maybe not completely by the pandemic and the recovery therefrom.
Yeah. First, congratulations for selling your home.
Yeah, good luck with buying the new one.
Yeah. Well, you know, you got to get that van life. You got to get back to the earth. Yeah. So look, there's a couple things going on. What was happening with the stuff I was mentioning before is true, but what your caller was mentioning is also true. So when the Fed talks about inflation, you also hear them talk about supply chains, right? So that a lot of what we're turning the economy back on, but it takes a long time to get, you know, the engine going. It takes a long time for the car to warm up, you know, after being in this winter for so long. And so you're going to see some weird stuff going on. You know, car companies, a lot of weird stuff was happening with cars last year. Like a lot of rental car places, you know, lowered their fleet numbers, that saturated the market. Now they don't have as many used cars to sell. That's causing car prices to go up. There's this chip shortage because, you know, new car manufacturers didn't think they would need cars. And so there's a lag time between the order when those things are built. And that causes a dearth of supply for new cars. And that's why it's going to take a long time for your caller to get a new car. So there are like the spending that we talked about before, but there's also just the natural getting the engine running that's going to take a little bit of time to work through. And the Fed has talked about that too. On home prices and the like, yeah, home prices are, it's interesting. That was something that was happening before the pandemic. You know, I've written stories about this, you know, before the pandemic hit. It's sort of been a long running issue that we just don't have, we aren't building enough homes. There aren't enough homes for sale. And it's, what's going on with that is a very complicated question. And no one really has a full answer to it. Is it that there are too many investors coming in to snatch up homes and rent them out? Is it that people are aging in their homes longer? And so those types of homes aren't getting onto the market more, and there isn't that supply. You know, millennials, my generation, pushed off having kids, and that has meant that they've needed homes later on in life. So it's just a lot of things going on with that. So I would say that when it comes to homes, that's sort of a long running issue. There needs to be, hopefully people will start building more homes, and that will help with the amount of supply available. Also, So I think like, and I think those things will sort of take time to work through. But yeah, there's always inflation. When you talk about inflation too, you know, you sort of talk about the Fed and supply and demand and all this, you know, esoteric stuff. When you are living life and you see college, you know, I have two kids and another one on the way, and I have to save for college, and that's expensive and higher than inflation. So it's weird to me as a parent who's saving for college to hear the Fed say inflation is low, because I know like these big things like colleges are getting, healthcare are getting more and more expensive. So when the Fed talks about inflation, what it's talking about are sort of the entire basket of goods. It's talking about everything. And it's the metric that it looks at most as most sort of dependable as a gauge of where prices are going. It excludes gas prices and it excludes food prices because those things are volatile. You know, when the pandemic hit, oil prices went, I live in Texas, oil prices went in the tank. You know, a lot of people lost their jobs because it just did not become profitable to get, you know, gas out of the ground. So prices, you know, so if we were talking this time last year, we'd be talking about a huge deflation in gas. Same thing with food. A lot of food prices went down. So it sort of depends on the time range you're looking at, what's going on. But when the Fed talks about inflation, it's talking about a huge basket of goods, and it's sort of stripping out the more volatile things that bounce around from year to year. But obviously that's cold comfort if you are buying, you know, brats right now and it's 5% more expensive than it was last month. So I completely understand.
We're picking up our conversation with Taylor Tepper, senior financial analyst at Forbes Advisor. He's been keeping an eye on inflation and what it might mean for your wallet. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What confuses you, if anything, about inflation? Are you worried about it right now? Call 800-642-1234. I want to give a listen, Taylor, to Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson on WKOW here, talking about inflation, especially as it relates to wages.
Commodities go up and down, and you can have temporary increases in prices. It'll come back down, whether it's gas prices or lumber prices or resin prices. Increases in wage rates ratchet up. And that creates permanent inflation. So you may feel good about getting a 5 or 6 or 7% raise, but if general inflation is 6, 7, or 8%, that increase is just completely wiped out.
So Taylor, there's talk at least that people are able to get more money for working, and there's concerns in some industries that they're not finding enough workers and have to bump up wages. How big a worry is that, as Senator Johnson there says, when it comes to inflation though?
So I would say two things. One, it's going to be hard to convince people that getting a raise is a bad thing. So God bless Senator Johnson on that. I think, secondly, the Federal Reserve and economists generally don't expect inflation to hit 6, 7, 8%. They expect over the long run for inflation to dip back down closer to 2%, which is where we've been. And I think one thing for your listeners to keep in mind, and well, to give the senator his due, you know, if you are a business and you've been operating with a certain number, certain margin, you know, based on how much you're paying your employees, that you're gonna have to recalculate it. If you're gonna have to hire, if you give a bonus for people to come in and work, or you know, give out more money. And he's right, like those wages are sticky. And so those prices, those wages will keep going up. So it will add to sort of the pain of employers, but employers generally will pass those on. Typically, historically, they pass those on to the consumers. And I think it's important to also remember that consumers, you know, the average family of four, you know, two working class people with two kids, got over $11,000 last year in stimulus money, in direct payments. And yes, there's perhaps people lost their jobs, but most people kept their jobs. So there is like some money out there. You look at the savings rate, it's much higher than it was before. So hopefully consumers will be able to eat those costs, no pun intended. And then, so when it comes time to sort of like inflation in general, I just don't think that, basically wage growth as an issue was a huge problem over the past 10 to 12 years. If wages weren't growing as much as they needed to, they were barely keeping up with inflation then. So I think a lot of people are not going to be too pessimistic if they're seeing more money in their pocket. So I guess that's when it comes to be able to find workers, that is a problem right now. A lot of economists are saying that the increased unemployment benefits is causing some of that. Not having schools open or camps open is also causing a little bit of it. But again, those types of issues will work themselves out as we reopen, and hopefully people can take those higher wages and save more of them.
Let's go back to our callers now. Stella is with us in Sturgeon Bay. Stella, hello.
Hi. Excuse me. I have a question. It has just really bothered me when I keep hearing that there's almost no inflation or zero inflation, because over the last number of years, I have been noticing that the Kleenex boxes that we used to buy with a 300 count are now down to 190 count, and it's the same price. And cases of food like tomato sauce that we bought for 12 quarts in a case are now down to 10, sometimes 8 or 6 per case. And sometimes the quart has shrunk down to 20 ounces, same price.
Gotcha, Stella. Okay. Thanks for the call. So kind of a stealth inflation. It looks like the price has stayed the same. The amount you're getting is less. So per unit, a hidden inflation that can hit us at the grocery store. What do you think, Taylor?
So I think that's a very, very good question. I think people need to be discerning when they buy. I mean, it's tough for me to sort of know the particulars of her case, but you can, you know, replace things that you bought for cheaper alternatives. You can use, you know, certain credit cards give you extra cash back when you shop at the grocery store. So I think there's sort of ways around that where you sort of substitute what you bought for something else in order to keep your sort of budget the same. But to her question, like there isn't no inflation in place. They want inflation to rise by 2% each year. The hope is that it sort of keeps up with your wages.
Thanks for the call, Stella. I want to take some time with a little practical advice, Taylor, which you've written about. Let's talk about somebody who's looking to save for something big, like maybe a college education for a kid or maybe for retirement. What does inflation mean for them? Do they need to do anything different because of it?
So if you're saving for the long term, no, I don't think there's anything you need to do differently necessarily. Maybe whenever you sort of hear this noise, if you increase your savings, that would be a good thing to do. Actually, one thing that does pop into mind. So if we were talking about these raises, you know, Senator Johnson talked about that. A lot of people, the sort of rule of thumb has been to save 10 to 15% of your income to put it to your 401k, including any match. I think people should think about this a little. I've written that, you know, that's sort of it's a standard rule of thumb. But I think people should start thinking about it a little differently, especially as wages rise. And instead, think about saving half of any raise you get. So rather than thinking about 10 or 15% of your income, save half of any raise. So if you go from, you know, 40,000 to 70,000 in, you know, over the course of your career, you're saving $15,000 a year towards your 401k. That will get you to a higher savings rate actually than the 15%. And it will sort of lower your standard of living so that it will make it easier to replace your income once you retire. So when people get these higher end raises that Senator Johnson's talking about, save more of them would be my advice, which is obviously not particularly pleasant to hear, but you know, I wish I could do something else for people.
Taylor, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much. It was so much fun.
That was Taylor Tepper, senior financial analyst for Forbes Advisor. He's a personal finance journalist who's covered a range of financial topics in the New York Times, Newsweek, Fortune, and elsewhere. We talked to him today about inflation and what it means for you.